We are excited that you are in worship today. A few announcements that we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship this morning. The way we do that, there are pew pads that you will find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could please take that pew pad, write your name down, give us any contact information, check the correct boxes. That helps us find out a little bit about you. We do ask, once you're done, if you could send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We certainly would appreciate that. Once it gets to that last person, when you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started this morning. And the first person, when it gets back to you, please tear out those pages, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you very much for that. A few announcements that I'll make. Many of these are listed in your bulletin under upcoming events, as well as opportunities for the week, and I was going to highlight a few of those. A reminder to all of our preschool families, preschool day camp begins tomorrow. Today is the final sign-up for that, so if you could go to our website, click on the children tab there at the top, you will find all the registration information. This is for babies through completed kindergarten, so we appreciate you doing that for us. We're excited about a great week of day camp starting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and that'll happen Monday through Friday of this week. At the end of the week, we're going to have a church-wide mission project. We decided to do a combination event between the family ministry team and Team I Am. And so we're opening up a church-wide opportunity, what we're calling Family Mission Days. Next, we've identified three Saturdays during the summer, June 25th, July 16th, and August 13th. And we're going to spend time as a body from children all the way through senior adults. We're going to divide up those who are able to come, give you a team, a project that will last approximately from 9 until 12 on Saturday morning, that you will go out and do some light painting. Most of the work that we'll be doing this first week will be some light painting and some cleanup. We've identified several projects in our surrounding community that we're going to be the hands and feet of Christ in. And so we hope that you plan to be a part of this. What we're asking you to do, you can either email me or call me this week, and we'll get your name on the list. There's a sign-up sheet there at the volunteer desk. We just ask you to put your name, your email, and give us the jobs that you're comfortable in doing. There's a checklist there. Let us know that information. Then what's going to happen, we'll divide you among teams, probably about 8 to 10, depending on the job, and Saturday morning, we're asking everybody to be here at 8:30, ready to work. At 8:30, we will have a time of prayer. We will divide up into our teams. You'll get directions to the job sites. And then we will go out to work in our community sharing Christ's love. So there will be church members at each site that will be handling all the ins and outs and buying the supplies. All we need is your labor and your love to come to be here next Saturday morning. So if you could sign up, email, or call me, and we'll make sure you have all the information, and we'll see you on Saturday morning at 8:30. Let's see. Also, very excited to announce for our summer mission project, our home mission trip, which is going to be in Greenville and Winterville, North Carolina, is just a couple Sundays away. But I'm excited to announce this morning that the goal we had set financially was $26,000 for us to afford the project. As of this morning, we have $26,052.73. That is very exciting. Now, some of you may have no idea what I'm talking about. Our church, for the last 20 years, has participated in a week-long mission trip. This year, we are headed to Greenville, and what we're going to do is the church, about 100 to 100 plus, typically go on this trip, and in a week, we build a complete house, and we furnish that house. It is a labor of love for this church, and it's a fabulous, amazing trip to go on and to experience that. When we get there, all that's there is the foundation. And by the time we leave, there's furniture in the rooms, and the family gets to move in. It is an unbelievable thing. And for us to be able to do it is something that we feel called, that God has specifically called College Park to do. And so we would love to have you be a part of that. There's a sign-up table with all the information that you need. We would love for you to go to be a part. If you can come one day, you can come all 5 days. We take care of most of the meals. Breakfast is provided by the hotel. Lunch is provided by the lunch crew. They're on site. And then dinner, some of the dinners are actually provided as well. But we want you to consider being a part of that. If nothing else, please pray for that that effort. A lot of work goes into that, and we are looking forward to what God is going to do in Greenville this year. Let me see. A couple other things. Youth. Yes, sir. Big Raj.
I need some help on Tuesday. I'm going down to see supervise the digging of the footings and the pouring of the footings. And I need somebody to ride with us. So if you'll let me hear from you today, I'd certainly appreciate it.
Okay. So, all right, we do need some help to go do the footings and start the foundation work. And Big Raj is going there on Tuesday. So if you're able to go be a part of that, that is certainly a necessary. Well, we've got to have a foundation before we build a house. Ain't that right? All right. So we got the money, and now we need the foundation. So if you could help us out with that, we would appreciate it. A couple other things. Youth, this Tuesday from 12 to 3 is our first youth event of the summer, Trifecta Tuesday. Check the website for all the details. Also, this Wednesday begins our Summer Wednesday series. We're doing studying the book Forgotten God by Francis Chan. It's a book about the Holy Spirit. It'll start at 6:30 every Wednesday night. This week at 6:30, we're having a cookout, followed at 7 o'clock by the study. We will be having something for all babies, preschoolers, and children. So parents, you can come, have a meal with your family, and then we'll take care of them during the adult study time. We'll be studying something very similar with the kids. So please make note of that. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. But we want to say a special welcome this morning to our guests. You've already given us your information, and we certainly are thankful for that when you sign the pew pad. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and they will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you will find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So we're very blessed. Especially by your presence this day. Father's Day. That day is, well, taken on new meaning for me in the last couple years. But Father's Day, it's a good day. How often do we really think about God being our Father? That's an intimate title, Father, connectedness, being right here. Being with us. He's the ultimate Father for those who have never known a father, or those who have had difficult experiences with fathers, or even good fathers. He gives us the ultimate example of fatherhood, of connectedness. That's what worship's about. Our dad's here. He's in this room. Let's worship him.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will be exceeding glad. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will be exceeding glad. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will sing my Maker's praise. This is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and
Thank you. morning. Will you all pray with me? Dear God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you so much that we can all be here together and just celebrate this day and celebrate the men in our lives and just celebrate you, God. And I thank you so much that you are here with us and that you are always there. And God, I just pray that you would be with us through this service and that we would glorify you in all that we do. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture text for this morning comes from the New Testament in the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter of Ephesians, the first four verses. And if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. From Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, what a blessing to be in your house for worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. Lord, we can feel the power of your presence this morning and the power of Christian fellowship to be in this room with brothers and sisters in Christ gathered in your name at College Park this morning. Lord, this third Sunday of June set aside to honor our earthly fathers is a day that we appreciate and a day that means a lot to us and to others. Lord, thank you for the way that you have blessed us through our earthly fathers, the way that they have taken care of us and taught us many things to help us in our lives, and particularly the way that they have played a role in helping us to know you. Lord, thank you also for the special men in our lives that may not have been our biological fathers. It may have been our grandfather or an uncle or a neighbor or a friend or a teacher or a coach, a man that played a very special role and that you used in very special ways to touch our lives. And we thank you for those men. We, Lord, have been blessed in many ways. And whatever the path that we traveled to get here this morning, whatever the path that life has taken us on our own individual journeys, we have been blessed along the way by fathers and by these special men, and we thank you so very much. Lord, for us who are fathers, oh, what a blessing. What a blessing that we have to share of sons and daughters who have taught us probably far more than we have taught them. And you have taught us and spoken to us in our role as fathers. And it has just made all the difference in our lives. Lord, thank you for giving us the strength to be fathers and to have wisdom that we maybe didn't know we had, and to experience love from children that helped us experience a glimpse of what it must be like to be you, and to have all these children that you have created and that you have loved and that you have abided with over the course of time, including your son that you sent to save us. We didn't deserve it, but you did it anyway, your own son. And in doing so, showed us the greatest example of fatherly love that this world has ever seen. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for touching us and blessing us in so many ways. On this Father's Day, we are thankful for many things. But most of all, Lord, we are thankful for you. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for not turning your back on us any day of our lives, but remaining there and remaining true to your promise to be our one and true Father, to love us and be present with us each and every day as your children. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.
You probably have to be a certain age to understand what I'm beginning to get at, because I do know that unless you have gray hair, you probably don't appreciate a particular radio station as much as some of us that have a little bit of age on us do. But anyway, this morning when I woke up, after many, many years of practice of setting the alarm, we still have that taking place even though we've retired. And there is a person that comes on, and the first thing you hear is, "We're debt free." And all these people that are involved in it are really excited over it. And on a Sunday morning, that just sort of grates on me. But then I got to thinking, and I'm surely not talking about monetary things now, but we as Christians, we are all debt free. We are debt free because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, paid the price for each of us. And don't we have a lot to be thankful for? So we as Christians need to go out and start shouting, "We're debt free." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are so thankful for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We know that we are loved and cared, and we know that all the people in this world have the opportunity of coming to know you as Christ and Lord, only if they will come and ask you into their heart. And Lord, we give you thanks for that. We thank you for this particular time of year that we can pay homage to our earthly fathers, the Christian men who have stood in front of us through the years with such loving kindness and strong Christian principles that helped influence us as we have walked the journey. And thank you for these new fathers that are coming along, and help them to be strong influences on all of our youth, because we know that the world is hurting to hear your word and hurting to hear of your love. Thank you for this time in our life that we can share our gifts back to you. And Lord, we ask your blessings on the gift and on the giver. May the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto your sight. Amen. Thank you.
Happy Father's Day to all the men out there. I've written a letter to my own dad, and he's hiding up there in the back of the balcony. So, Dear Dad, I can never put into words how great of a father you are. I thank God for you every single day, multiple times a day. It breaks my heart whenever I have to return to college every August, or especially after I have to come home for breaks because I have to say goodbye to you all over again. Nothing could ever take your place in my life. I can never explain to anyone how hard you have always worked to provide for our whole family. Your work ethic is the greatest of anyone I have ever known in my life. I can't even imagine some of the sacrifices both you and Mom have made in order to give Jensen and Kyler and me not only what we need, but also many things that we want. You are a great man of God, and thank you for always instilling important morals and values in me. You have always shown us three children an unconditional love and embraced us with open arms at every age in life. It is because of this love you have shown me that I know God loves me unconditionally as well. You know what you stand for, and you never waver in your beliefs, which has shown me how to stand firm in my faith as well. It's because of you and Mom that I am who I am today. Never forget that I will always be your little girl, no matter how old I am. You are a man who I greatly admire and respect more than anyone else. I know that I am incredibly blessed to have a father who has always been present in my life, because I know that that is not true for everyone else. My prayer is that godly men, whether they are a father or a brother, an uncle or a friend, would live lives that show God's love to the children of this congregation. My hope for each person in life is that even if their earthly father is not present, they will find their love and comfort from our Heavenly Father, because He is always present no matter what. Happy Father's Day. Thank you.
The year was 1991. My son was only 2 or 3 months old, little bitty squirt. I was sitting in my living room at 408 White Street in Hendersonville, and I was watching the World Championship of Track and Field live from Tokyo, Japan. And as I was watching this epic event unfold before me, we had Carl Lewis and Mike Powell who were competing in the long jump. And it was an incredible competition. And the distances they were jumping is unbelievable. And all of us, you know, as children, a lot of times we would practice running and then see how far we could jump, or swing in a swing and jump out and see how far we could get. But the distances these guys were putting down was unbelievable. Jeff, I need your help here. Let me give you a visual on what these guys were doing. Carl Lewis and his jump, he's laying down this distance, and you're sitting there going, when's he going to stop? He's laying down a distance that is almost unbelievable, and it's further than this. He continued in his jumps, and just when you think he can't possibly jump any further, he does. And his jump, his final jump, was 29 feet, 11 and a quarter inches. Now, this human being is running, jumping from here and landing where Jeff is. It was the most remarkable thing I've ever seen in my life. And he finished second. He finished second. Mike Powell jumped about that much further than Carl. And in doing so, he set the world record that still stands. As a matter of fact, since that day in 1991, the distances in the long jump have actually decreased. These guys put a bar out there. Carl Lewis was the reigning four-time gold medalist in this event. He jumped this far and got beat. The scary thing is, I see some of you guys out there, and you're sitting there going, I think I could do that. And what's even scarier is we've got some kids out there that are saying, I think my dad could do that. He said that he ran track in high school. We'll see. And children think that kind of thing. They think that kind of thing. It's the same type of language that comes from, oh yeah, well my daddy can beat up your daddy. What gives children the impressions that their daddies can do that kind of thing? It's a statement of power. And it's a little frightening, the responsibility that comes with that. So my question is, how do we help our children gain the proper perspective about the limitations of earthly fathers, and at the same time help them to fully realize and understand that their heavenly Father is in no way limited, that their heavenly Father is perfect, that their heavenly Father is all-powerful? How do we do that? Well, let me answer my question with a short lesson. One of the names that's used to describe our God is Jehovah Shammah, which means the God who is there. Who is there? There's an epidemic in our country right now. And it's what I call American homes suffering from the phantom father syndrome, which means the father who is not there. And even in homes where he might be there physically, he's really not all there. You'll recall a couple months ago we had the Love at Last Sight challenge, and we talked about being all there in relationships. And some of you are probably still wearing your orange bracelet to remind you that when you're in a relationship, to be all there, to be fully engaged in that relationship. There's a song that kind of illustrates this that's out right now. It's a song by a fellow named Trace Atkins, who's a country western star. I guess they don't say Western anymore. It's just country now. But anyway, he's a country star, and the title of the song is Just Fishing. And the reason I like the song so much is because it's a song about a father spending time with his daughter, making memories, being all there, using a simple activity, fishing, you know, to teach his daughter about being all there in a relationship. And for the little girl, I mean, she's out there in her little pink rod and reel. And, you know, and he talks about how she won't sit still and she's doing this. She's talking about her ballet shoes and everything else. For the little girl, it's obviously just fishing. But for the father, he keeps saying, but it's more than just fishing. He understands the power of the time that you get to spend with your children. It's different from a father's perspective. And for any man who has a daughter or a son, it's a great reminder to us that we should use the time that we have with our children wisely. Jeff's going to pick up on that fishing theme at the end of the service today, but I want to kind of leave that with you. If you have a chance, check out the video. It is inspiring. We watched it at the conclusion of the recreation service at 9 o'clock, and it is very touching. Trace Atkins, Just Fishing. You can Google that and it'll pop the video up for you. But I guess my point in telling you the story about the video is to remind us that there are hundreds of men that have fathered children and simply walked away from the family. Maybe not physically speaking, but emotionally and spiritually speaking, they're absentee fathers. And many men, though they're living in the family, they're so absorbed by all the other distractions. You know, you have careers, you have stuff sometimes it just pulls the time, and you think, well, there'll be plenty of time later. There'll be plenty of time later. And then you turn around, and it's later. And I can't tell you what a devastating effect that has on families. You know, I could stand up here and quote you all kinds of statistics, and trust me, I've got stacks of them, you know. All these statistics that would support my thesis, but you've heard most of those. Better still, all you have to do is be a little bit observant to see what's going on around us. And you'll see that absentee fathers, it's not just the effect on the family, but it's the effect on our culture, on our whole society, how that has damaged the relationships within our society. In our scripture today, and we'll read that in just a moment, but in our scripture today, we're told of a man by the name of Jairus, who was a religious man, a ruler of the local synagogue, and he was also a father. I want to invite you to read with me. We'll be reading from Mark chapter 5. And again, if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be one there in the pew close by. And if you would, just leave it open because we'll be referring back to it. But Mark chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 21 and read through 24, and then we'll kind of jump down to verse 35. So this is a story that has a preface to it of sorts, and I invite you at a later time to go back and read the beginning of chapter 5 because it's quite remarkable, but we'll be mentioning that in just a moment. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came to him, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. Then jumping down to verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." That'll preach. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, let that be a lesson to you. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Back up just a little bit. Verse 21 tells us that Jesus is coming back into Capernaum. He is coming back from a busy time over at Gadara. Gadara was the place where he delivered a possessed man, a demon-possessed man. And as he arrives back on the shore, there are a lot of people waiting there. I mean, word travels quickly about where Jesus was coming and going and what he was doing. And there's a crowd that's waiting there. But Mark focuses in on one individual. This was the ruler of the synagogue. He was a very important man. He was a very powerful, influential man. And Jairus was the presiding elder of the synagogue, which the synagogue was an assembly that included pretty much the whole community of Capernaum there. And his position made him one of the most powerful, prominent men of the congregation. He was not a teacher. He was not a preacher, but he was responsible for the order of service in the synagogue. He was also keeper of the sacred books, which belonged there to the community. And he was kind of, in a sense, maybe the president of the choir. You know, he was kind of president of the congregation, if you will, kind of a city manager, so to speak. And every service, he appointed someone there to lead in prayer and someone there to read from the scripture. And if there was a rabbi that was visiting, passing through, he would invite him to read and then have some comments about the scripture. So this was a man that was very prominent. He was a very high social position. He was known among the people. He was a man of prestige and power, but he was a man that had a desperate need. His little girl, the apple of his eye, was dying. I don't know what that feels like. I don't want to know what that feels like. But I know that some of you have experienced that emotion. I can't imagine. So what makes this man worthy of the title of faithful father, and what can we learn from it? Well, I think there's three things that we can learn from this story. First of all, Jairus was not ashamed to seek out Jesus. And let me explain, a man in his position, typically if he was sending for someone, he would do just that. He would send a servant. He would send someone else in the community, someone else in the congregation. He would perhaps send his wife to go fetch someone to him. But he didn't do that. He went himself. And it's important for us to understand he was engaged. He was fully engaged in this relationship with his daughter. And when we take on the role of father, we take on the responsibilities that come with that are given to us from our Heavenly Father. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 that Jason read earlier, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." The Amplified Bible says it this way. It says, "Fathers, Do not irritate or provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and the admonition of the Lord. So if we take God's word seriously, then we can't escape the fact that it's our responsibility as fathers to teach our children about God. You see, Paul's not addressing, he didn't say mothers, he didn't say youth ministers, he doesn't say Sunday school teachers, he doesn't say preachers, he doesn't even say church. He says, fathers, teach your children about God. It's the family, not the church, that is primarily responsible for the biblical and spiritual training of our children. Now, church and community and all that, I mean, we all bind together. Don't get me wrong. We all take on that responsibility to assist one another, but primary responsibility is assigned to the family. Now, dads, with that in mind, let me give you some counsel, and as well as myself, about 7 or 8 points here very quickly. Number one, practical advice number one, dedicate your child to God. Dedicate your children to God. This will cause you to realize that they are indeed a gift from God. And if you don't believe they are a gift, then ask a couple who wants to have a child and can't. Second of all, teach your children to have awe for the Lord. King James translates that fear of the Lord. Have a healthy respect and awe for the Lord. To turn away from evil. To love righteousness, to hate iniquity, to hate our sin. Thirdly, protect them from ungodly influences, because make no mistake, Satan is out to destroy them. That's his goal. Fourth, establish them in church. And if you see no need for faithfulness to God's house, neither will they. Count on that. Number five, encourage them to be in the world, but not of the world. Teach them the difference. Instill in them godly biblical standards on how they are to live in the world, ministering to people while not living of the world. Number six, instruct them in the importance of living by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Jeff announced earlier, this summer we're going to talk about the power, living by power of the Holy Spirit on Wednesday nights. So come be a part of that. I encourage you to be a part of that. Number seven, teach them that God has a purpose for their life. Jeff could attest to this. Anybody who works with young people can attest to this. One of the biggest questions teenagers have is, what is my purpose in life? What is the meaning in life? Dads, teach them that God has a purpose for their life. Number eight, instruct them the importance of prayer and the Word of God. In short, devotional life. Don't just teach them, though. Show them by your example what a devotional life looks like. And number nine follows up to that. Teach by your life, your actions, not just words, because words mean very little if they're not applied. Teach them that God loves them too much to reward them for disobedience. Teach them that His love is unconditional. Teach them that we cannot expect God to bless us with finances without tithing, with wisdom without the word, with freedom without forgiveness, with victory without accountability, with abundance without obedience. Jairus sought out the Lord himself. And as fathers, we must do the same, and we must teach our children to do the same. The second thing that I want you to notice is that Jairus was not ashamed to bring Christ into his home. To bring Christ into his home. This is a must for us. And I think the history on this goes all the way back to the Passover. Do you remember, if you go back and read in Exodus, you remember how the plagues were sent by God to encourage, Pharaoh to let his children go. And as God is bringing on one last plague upon Egypt, the death angel there was going to pass over and slay the firstborn of Egypt. And the only safety would be for the children who the blood of the lamb had been applied on the doorpost and the upper post. And it was the father's duty to take the lamb, slay it, and it was the father who applied the blood. So the safety of the family was dependent upon the father to do what he was told, to follow the instructions of the Lord. And if he did that, then the family would be spared the death and tragedy. But if he failed in his duty, the death angel killed his firstborn. Make no mistake, there is a death angel passing through the United States of America, and he's coming with drugs, sexual disease, rebellion, all of these things, and he wants our children. And he gets into the lives of our family and children by what we allow to come into our homes. John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He says, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Have it to the full. Fathers, the thief will destroy your family if you do not take the blood of Christ and apply it over the lives of your children. If you fail to make Christ a part of your home, the thief will have the upper hand. Notice in verses 37 through 40 again, if you still have your Bible open, 37, repeat it. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead but asleep. And they laughed at him. After he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was. Here's my point. When Christ entered Jairus' home, he chose who was to be in, and he ran out everybody that didn't belong. He took the authority in another person's home. And our challenge is to let him have that kind of authority in our home. Is he able to bring that which he desires and get rid of that which does not belong in our homes? Jairus' daughter saw that her father was not ashamed to seek out Jesus. And she saw that he was not ashamed to let Jesus into their home. And thirdly, she saw that he was not ashamed to express his love toward her. What took a father from his dying daughter's side to go seek out Jesus? What compelled him to fall at Jesus' feet and beg him, cry out, please come with me. Please save my daughter. What causes a man to forget his place in society and not care what other people think or say and fall at Jesus' feet? Love. He loved his daughter. And this love said, I will do what I have to. I will go where I have to go to see, honey, that you're made whole. I'd like to know when we get to heaven, I'm going to ask the question, how long the daughter lived after that? We don't know. We don't know how long the little girl lived, but listen to this. There was not a day that went by that that little girl didn't know, I'm alive today because of my daddy's love for me. Perhaps she grew up to have children. Those grandchildren heard the story of how grandpa sought out Jesus and how their mother was brought back to life because of a daddy's love for his child. Her life, her living was an example of the power of God and a father's love and commitment to seek out Jesus, to bring him home, bring him into his home because of his love for his daughter. Dads, I pray that we would share that same level of commitment and love for our children. Amen? Amen. Jeff, if you would come this time.
Come on down. Come sit right down here with me. We'll wait. Come on. We'll sit up here so everybody can see us. Okay. All right, got some come from the balcony. There's Christian. We've never done it this way before, I know. I know. All right. Come on, Jack. All right, I have something I want to, show you. All right, I'll take it off so you can see it really good, okay? All right. This is called a lapel pin. It's just something some men wear when they have a jacket or even a tie. What is it in the, what does it look like? A fish hook? Really? Why would I have a fish hook? Something I wear. Why would I? We have any idea? Okay, is there something else that it looks like? A J. Oh, why do you think it's in the form of a J? It's for Jeff, right? Yeah, it's for Jeff. How did y'all guess that? No. It's not for Jeff. It's for Jesus. That's right. So why do you think that I've got a little thing that looks like a J and looks like a fish hook? Did he do much with fishing? He did. Can you tell me a story about? Tell me. He did. One of the coolest things he said when he was calling his disciples, most of the disciples were fishermen, right? And so he went out and he saw them and they were out there fishing with their nets. And he said, come, I will make you fishers of men. What did he mean by that? What do you think he meant by that? Hey, you fishermen, you're not going to catch fish anymore. You're going to catch men. What do you think he meant? That's exactly right. To catch other people. They were going to learn how to tell others about him and about God. So I was thinking about that, and there's a great song that's on the radio that talks about, country songs. You've ever listened to country music? Yeah, they're either talking about fishing or dogs or something else. And fishing is a big theme in country music. And we were thinking about today being Father's Day, right? You know, that's a pretty cool day. It's now one of my favorite days of the year. Because, Matthew, he was born last year. And now are you laughing at me? Okay. And so what I thought was, I want you guys to say a special thank you to your dads. Because you know what? Your dads are just like those disciples that Jesus said, you're not going to fish anymore for fish. You're going to fish for people. And you know who your dad works hardest for to share Jesus? You. And I want you to give him this gift today. Okay? Say, Dad, I love you. I thank you for all the things that you do for me. And I know ultimately you're trying to show me Jesus. Can you do that? Have you bought a Father's Day gift? No. Here, I'm giving you one. We won't tell them, all right, that this is your Father's Day gift to your dad. Can you do that for me? Can you do that? All right. We're thankful for all the men in our church. The dads, the granddads, the Sunday school teachers, the prayer partners, the mission leaders, all the men in our church who share Christ with us. And what we're going to do, as everyone leaves today, we're going to have at this door and at this door, we'd like to give all of you one of these to say thank you. We encourage you to wear it on a regular basis, if you can, just to say thank you, that we love you and we appreciate all the men in our church and how they show Christ to us. Can we pray together? Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day and the blessing of these children and this time of worship. Father, as we think about dads today, some of us have great memories of our dads, and some not so much. Father, today we are reminded that you are our eternal Father. You are the best dad ever. And you want us to be close to you. And you want the men in our church to bring children closer to you. We thank you for that. We thank you for the men in our lives who have done that and continue to do it. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
As we've learned about our Heavenly Father, I want to extend an invitation to you. If you're here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with the God who loves you and the God who created you, we want to give you that opportunity through the sacrifice of Jesus, His Son. He has made a way for you to enter into His presence and have a relationship with Him. So I'm going to be here at the front in just a moment when we stand and sing. And I want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and having a personal relationship with Him, I'll be glad to share with you. Come on down or give me a call this week. Be glad to talk with you about it. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I'm just so thankful for my dad, or
or I just want to rededicate myself to be the kind of father that I need to be or the grandfather that I need to be, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to do that. If you're here this morning and you say, I love this congregation, I want to be a part of this by official church membership, I'll be glad to share with you how we receive members. But whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Before we have our benediction, let me encourage you, following the benediction and the response, greet one another. If you haven't had a chance to meet a guest who's around you, be sure and extend a word of welcome and fellowship. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you are a merciful God. You are a loving God who teaches us every day. God, we pray that as we leave from this place, we would go so knowing of your unconditional love for us and that we would extend that to others. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.